And you know, here's the thing that I found almost 14 years of doing this is that most of us didn't really go to school for great leadership. We didn't go to management training. Many of us found ourselves in positions through our great success in business, or maybe somebody resigned, they needed somebody to fill the position, and hey, congratulations, you're the new manager for this department. And so a lot of people have the right intention, they just don't necessarily know how to put that into action. And so what I find is that people will find me and say, okay, we really want to know what's missing. And so what we do is we conduct a survey, and we do a leadership team, a sales team, and a service team survey. So it's, for me, it's as simple as that, right? So I have a very special dislike for people who make simple things complicated, because they do that for their own gain. For me, simple things actually get implemented. Complicated doesn't get implemented. Too many moving parts, people are too busy, it doesn't work. So for me, we start with a survey, leaders, sales, and then service. And our leadership questions, just like the others, are pretty poignant and open-ended and simple. So our four base questions in every survey that we do is, what is present? What is missing? How do you contribute to what is missing?
Okay.
And what are the possibilities?
And this is the executive level?
All of them.
So sort of day one, yeah, going into it, day one. Okay.
Then what are your three greatest strengths? What are areas to work on? What about for your team? And then if you would change anything in the organization, what would you change? So remember my dislike for my this old judgment I had about consultants. Come in and tell you what you already know, send you a big invoice and leave.
Right.
So some of that stems because I think most of us know what we need to work on. I mean, Jeff, if I were to say, okay, Jeff, here you are on radio. Tell everybody in the world two of your biggest weaknesses. Ready, go. Like,
right.
It's like, I'm not going to do that.
Not going to do that on air. But anyway.
I know what they are, right? I mean, you know what they are. Yeah. And you're married, and so, you know, I'm sure your wife will help you out. You need a little bit of help. So we all know what's missing within us. We know those areas we need to work on. We just don't always know how to shift and how to change. So to answer your question, what will happen is we'll conduct a survey. We'll get a leadership feedback, sales team, service team. And so I say to leaders, I said, usually if we have one person who says they want pink shag carpet in the organization, we get them therapy. But if we have 25 people in the organization that say they want pink shag carpet, you better hire an interior decorator.
There's something going on.
There's something going on. So that feedback can either be used to internalize and feel bad and feel discouraged, or that feedback can be used to actually give the answers to leadership so that they know what to do next.
Right.
And we just help facilitate that process. So we say, all right, if the feedback is, and gosh, every survey I have done for almost 14 years, and I hate this word, this is my least favorite word in the English language, is I always hear this lack of communication.
Right.
I just can't stand the word communication because it means nothing until we define it. So let's just take something as nebulous, you know, vague and ambiguous as communication. I hear it everywhere I go. I go, all right, what does that really mean? Communication. Does that mean me talking to you? Does that mean you stepping up? I mean, I was just in New York State last week, and we did a full-blown team interaction. So we had all the leaders there and all the staff. So we had about 55 people in the room. And finally got the staff to open up in front of the leadership after they'd given this very hard-hitting survey answers. And so they said, well, you know, we don't think that we're heard. We don't think that our leaders are listening to us. And I said, well, then what have you done to step up and say, hello, you're not listening? And they said, oh, no, we don't, that's not our role.
But how are they empowered to do that without you being there, essentially?
Right.
And I guess that's what they would push back.
So that's the hope, is that if my leaders can recognize, so for example, and I don't think you need to hire a consultant to do a survey, for crying out loud. I think you can get a shoebox and cut a hole in the top and tape the lid,
right.
And you can ask people those four questions,
comments,
right?
Comments welcome.
Right? Yeah, hello, yeah, comments welcome, what's present, what's missing, and if people are paranoid about their signature being found out, you type it up on a Word document and print it off, right? So I think what matters is if I have a leadership team that's really willing to uncover what's missing, like what they don't know that they don't know, a simple way to do that is by getting feedback.
Right.
Then when they get feedback, they need to be willing to have a sustainable course to act on it, so that people do feel empowered to speak. I think the challenge is many leaders, in fact, I read an article in Fast Company magazine years ago that said less than 10% of leaders feel adequate in the position they're in, fully adequate, like able to handle all these challenges, less than 10%.
Yep.
I don't think that statistic's changed. So I think some of this is about becoming comfortable in the uncomfortable.
Right.
It's about choosing to be committed to knowing that in order for us to succeed, we have to fail. We have to struggle. We have to be uncomfortable. We have to scrape and claw our way through it. But if we have a vision, I talk about this too, if we have a vision powerful enough to call us through the pain of transformation, then bring it on.